Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such a group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
BlogTalkRadio.com, the Rod Kelly Show.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome. February 13th already, 2020. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. Y'all know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Yours truly, Ron Kelly. And it's on BlogTalkRadio.com, the Rod Kelly Show.com. Anthony Moriano, Jimmy Williams, my brother. Love you, man. Billy Moss. All the people that are lining up to watch and listen to the man. Yours truly, Ron Kelly. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Ooh, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day 2020. So I guess everybody's scrambling around. Billy Moss, love you, man. Down in Florida, I'm jealous because the weather sucks up here in New Jersey, as it always does. Anyway, everybody, Anthony Moriano and everybody who's watching Ron Kelly's show, I really, really appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining me this evening. Yeah, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so I know we're all scrambling around and trying to get it together. What are we going to get for our honey, you know? And I posted something, and we got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about Trump and all the nonsense that's going on and really how disconnected we are. But, you know, I posted, I saw somebody post something, a sister, post something the other day about Valentine's Day. And what she said was, don't buy me a gift, pay one of my bills. Oh my God. You know, see, that's why you wonder why black men run over to white people, white women, because see, because y'all always want us to pay your damn bills. That's shout out to my boy Cam Ellie. Black women, they always want you to pay one of their damn bills. I'm like, come on, that was like the tackiest, most ghetto garbage I've seen on Facebook in a long time. Pay one of my bills. See, that's why I run off to the white woman. See, you get mad at us. They get to make the snarky comments and look at you up and down when you trade off and go to another race, like an Asian or a white woman, who don't ask you to pay their bills. Their bills are already paid. If anything, they offer to pay one of your bills, you see. And I'm like, come on. See, that's the problem with black women. I'm not all, but most. I want you to pay one of their damn bills. I ain't paying your bills. Pay your own bills. I got enough problems over here with all my stuff I got going on. But pay my bills. Knock it off. And shout out to Michael Bazak, my brother from Mass. I'm going to be up there. I'll be in Boston within the next couple of weeks, my brother. I'm going to reach out to you and see if we can hook up my brother, Michael Mazak, from up there in New England. Wait. Anyway, everybody, thank you so much. Welcome. Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, RonKellyShow.com. Boy, you know, I was watching you know, I got to keep up with this stuff. So sometimes I get stuck with watching these, keeping up with this presidential election that's going on right now. And this is consequential, my people. I mean, this thing, and I'm not going to stick on it too long, but this thing with Trump is a straight up gangster. I mean, let's just cut to the chase here. Trump is a gangster. There's no other way to explain it. Because the things he does, and this is what we're going to be, this is what we are going to be, if we don't get out here and do the things that we need to do, this is what we're going to be faced with from now until 2024. Because the election is a couple months away. This is February. The presidential election is in November. And it's only like 9 months away. And if we don't get it going and get involved in this thing, we're going to have another 4 years of Mr. Trump gangstering his way through. I mean, it's just unbelievable the things he does and what he gets away with in the Republicans just stick with it. Now, it's not about Democrat and Republican. I'm talking about right or wrong because I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. It's not about that necessarily. It's about right and wrong. It's the things that Trump does. I mean, at least you know who he is. That's the saving grace. At least you know who he is. But the things that he's doing and the things that we're going to be subjected to in 2024 is like unbelievable. And see, this is the stuff that, you know, we have to try to tell y'all, we got to get moving. Now, is Bernie Sanders now? Am I a Bernie Sanders fan? No, not at all. You see, because the United States of America is a business. United States of America is business. See, you know, because when you look at the Democrats, I'm just talking about my observations. I'm not Democrat or Republican. But when you look at the Democrats, it's all about give, 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 give. You see, right now, the United States of America is like a runaway credit card, $24 trillion in debt. You know how much $1 trillion is? $1 trillion is $1 billion. That's $1 trillion. So the United States of America's debt is $24 billion. I mean, you can't even quantify that, like how much money that is. $24 billion. That's what the United States of America's debt is right now. And it's going to climb even higher and higher. See, because our country, this here country, United States of America, is spending money that it doesn't have. It's borrowing money from China. I think China owns like 30% of this country right now anyway. So, you know, we can't just give to everybody, you know. So, I mean, I think Trump is reprehensible and classless and all of that type of stuff. But he's right when he's, you know, when he talks about like cutting down the deficit. Now, is he cutting it down? No, but it really does need to be cut down. But at some point, there's going to be another meltdown of the stock market. You know what happens with that? You know what happened last time, which wasn't even near the depression, the size of the depression that we had back in 1929. Now, if that happens now, it's going to be chaos out here. It's going to be absolute chaos. So we have to, you know, whoever the president is going to be, they're going to have to be somebody who's got to, like, you know, hold the line and not give away everything, because there's so much money. I mean, $24 billion. I mean, can you imagine $24 billion? That makes Jeff Bezos look like a homeless person, man, worth $100 billion. We're talking about $24 billion. It's a lot of money. So we do have to, at some point, cut down and stop spending so much because, you know, like I said, eventually the stock market is going to crash. And, you know, in 1929, you know, of course I wasn't there, but that will pale in comparison to what will happen in 2020 if it so happens that the stock market melts down. So as far as Bernie Sanders goes, I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan. And I know a lot of y'all out there, you know, I got my share of, you know, bumps upside the head, you know, because I, just like Trump, I am who I am too. And I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan. I'm not a, not because he's 78 years old. I mean, that does have a little bit of something to do with it because that's old, you know. But we can't keep giving away stuff. We can't keep forgiving this and giving away that and Medicare for all and, You know, it should be Medicare for whoever needs it. You know, like some of us who work and have commercial health insurance like I do, you know, I don't worry about that because my company, who I work for, covers my health insurance. So I don't worry about health insurance. Now, we're going to give Medicare, and I don't want Medicare. I like my insurance the way it is, you know, because Medicare is not always going to, you know, you're going to get the bare bones treatment with Medicare. They're not going to give you everything you need. You know, you got that's why with Medicare is part one, part two, part three, part four. And then even after all that, you still have to purchase some kind of additional insurance, you know, to shore up the parts of Medicare that are not going to cover you for certain things. So Medicare for some. Medicare for the people who need it. Medicare for the people who are not working or who want public assistance, who and then that number is dwindling down too because Trump's cutting all of that stuff, which I don't agree with. But everybody knows somebody who's collecting SSI. You know, everybody knows somebody who's collecting SSI. Everybody knows, especially, you know, in the less fortunate communities, everybody knows somebody who's collecting some money who shouldn't be getting it. As I certainly do. I know several people who are collecting money that they shouldn't be getting. And if they're going to do anything, they need to get control of that. Where, you know, people who are collecting money, people who are collecting SSI, who are able to work, you know, they give SSI to kids who are not really deserving of it. I mean, they, you know, it's supposed to be for kids who are indigent or kids who have PTSD or whatever kind of problems. That's where the money is supposed to go. So we all know somebody who's collected is not supposed to be getting it. So then shout out to Rodney Hill. So we need to get a hold of that. Now, I mentioned in my previews for the show for this week that I would talk about Pete Buttigieg, a gay president of the United States. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine a gay president of the United States? The president and the first man, you know. I mean, I'm not going to have anything against – I don't want the PT – I don't want the LGBTQ community coming after me. But I mean, give me a break. But Pete Buttigieg is up there in second place, right behind Bernie, right on Bernie's heels. And way down the list is poor old Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden, if he doesn't get it together soon, he's going to be on the outside looking in. Because right now it's Sanders, Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and then. And Elizabeth Warren then is Biden. So right now, former Vice President Biden is in fifth place, you know. So we lost the first one miserably, lost the second one in New Hampshire, and then he ran hauled ass out of New Hampshire, running down to South Carolina. You see, if you're running for president and you need black folks to help you, your campaign is in trouble because black people are like a luxury for presidential candidates. Black folks just kind of like, you know, we're like the field goal, you know, we're like the game is, you know, we're like the insurance run, you know, in baseball. We're like the extra field goal in football when you talk about the black vote, because the black vote is really not that important in regards to winning the election, but it's nice to have it. And that's where we stand right now, where it's just nice to have us. So with Joe Biden, if you need black folks, if Joe Biden ran down to South Carolina because he's looking towards South Carolina and he's looking toward the more, diverse, because, you know, Iowa is 99% white and New Hampshire also was 90% white. And so Joe Biden ran down to after the total butt whipping that he took in the first two primaries, in the Iowa caucus and then the New Hampshire primary, he ran down to South Carolina to try to find some of his people, you know, which is our people. And he's down there and he's hoping that the black folks will save him. And if you need black folks to win your election, your election is in a deep doo-doo. So we'll see what happens with that. The election for, we have the, South Carolina election coming up. Then we have Super Tuesday in a couple of weeks. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Joe, poor old Joe Biden, who's like wet matches. He's not. Poor old Joe Biden is like wet matches. Shout out to Colette Bannister Matthews, who's watching the program. Poor old Joe Biden. And it's funny now, you see that now, I don't know, now this Bloomberg, I meant to pull it up. Maybe I'll see if I can pull it up during the break. Bloomberg and his, where he tried to defend, the stop and frisk, and he said throw him up against the wall. I'll see if I can pull it up sometime during the program. I just slipped my mind to pull it up. And Bloomberg, who says that most of the killers and the criminals are in the minority community. So in his defending stop and frisk, he just said throw them up against the wall. He did say throw them up against the wall and frisk them. I'm like, wow. How you doing, my sister Colette Bannister Matthews? So I'll get to that. I'll get to more of that. But more importantly now, Bloomberg, despite him making that statement, you see these, and right after that, see, these people are smart. He came right out with a ad featuring President Obama. Now, President Obama had to give permission for that. Obama had to give permission to Michael Bloomberg to air this commercial. I know some of you have seen it. I've seen it, and it features prominently more of Barack Obama than it does of Bloomberg. So I guess that's Bloomberg's way of saying, hey, what are you have President Obama in the ad. President Obama is in the ad making statements about this gentleman, about Bloomberg. President Obama is bigging him up in the commercial. And that came out right after the audio was leaked about Bloomberg telling people who were listening did just throw them up against the wall. I mean, why you got to throw them against the wall? It's bad enough you got to stop and frisk them, then you got to throw them up against the wall. But Bloomberg could clearly be heard saying in the audio, throw them up against the wall and frisk them. And almost immediately after that, you see a commercial, election commercial with Bloomberg cozying up with President Obama, and President Obama saying all kinds of nice things about Bloomberg. Now, President Obama had to give permission for that, but you don't see any commercials. I don't know if Joe Biden can even afford to show any commercials, but you don't see any commercials with former Vice President Biden and Obama, who Biden backed Obama up for 8 years between 2008 and 2016. You don't see nothing, and President Obama has said nothing about Joe Biden. He hasn't tried to. So far, President Obama has been silent. Mum's the word about. He's been silent about Bloomberg. I mean, about Joe Biden. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on. Anyway, it's about 20. It's about 19 minutes past the hour. We'll take a quick break. I'll take a break. There's three breaks a show. So we'll take our first one when we come back. And we'll talk about Pete. When I come back, I'm going to talk about PTSD, but not the kind of PTSD you think. We'll be right back in just a moment with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
And we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And I didn't mean to come back right then and there, but whatever. Welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. One third in the can. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, Ron Kelly Show. .com. Oh, boy. Oh, Lord Jesus. Anyway, oh, yeah. And, you know, so we're back and we're better than ever. Thank the Lord that we're able to make it through last week and come back and work this program. It's called Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Yeah, so, and I, you know, I'm like, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's Day 2020. And like I was saying earlier in the program that I mentioned to somebody, I mean, someone mentioned, you know, making a suggestion about what kind of gift you should give. And one sister, and it's always a sister, ain't it? Somebody sent me a message about me, I think it was Facebook message or something about me banging on the sisters. And I don't be banging on the sisters. I don't be banging on the black women, you know. I mean, but the truth is truth. So I saw this post where the young lady, a sister, suggested that you pay one of her bills rather than get her rather than get a Valentine's Day gift, pay one of her bills. I'm like, you wonder why we run off to white women. Because white women don't ask you to pay their bills. They might want to help you pay one of yours. You know, so you're not getting your bill paid if you're listening. Anyway, great to have you guys here. It's 22 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show. .com. So yeah, so I wasn't able to get this sister, Dr. Joy Demu. I think that's how you say her name. M-U-U-Y. And yeah, I think that's how you say her name. And because I wanted to talk to her about post-traumatic slave disorder. And because most of us, when we think about PTSD, we think about Dr. Joy DeGruy, G-R-U-Y, Dr. Joy DeGruy. It wasn't time to get her onto the program, but she's written a book, and it's called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, basically. And it's available on Amazon and some of the other places where you can buy a book. And Wikipedia explains post-traumatic slave syndrome as a set of behaviors, beliefs, and actions associated with or related to multi-generational trauma experienced by African Americans that include but are not limited to undiagnosed and untreated post-traumatic stress disorder in enslaved Africans and their descendants. Post-traumatic slave disorder posits that centuries of slavery in the United States, followed by systemic and structural racism and oppression, including lynching, Jim Crow, C-R-O-W, and unwarranted mass incarceration, have resulted in multi-generational maladaptive behaviors, which originated as survival strategies. The syndrome continues because children whose parents suffer from PTSS are often indoctrinated to the same behaviors long after behaviors have lost their contextual effectiveness. Now, Dr. DeGruy says that PTSS is not a disorder that can simply be treated and remedied clinically, but also requires profound social change in individuals as well as institutions that continue to reify inequality and injustice towards the descendants of enslaved Americans. So I think it'd be a good book to pick up. It's called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, America's Legacy of Enduring Injury and Healing, Dr. Joy DeGruy. And I'm going to try to get her, like I said, there wasn't enough time to get her onto the program. She's busy and I'm busy. So I will try to get her on the program so she can explain more about this post-traumatic slave syndrome. And to me, it sounds like, you know, another, like maybe a description of how our folks act, you know. It sounds like it's another, I wouldn't say excuse, but it's another, it's another way to explain why we act the way we act toward each other. But when I get her on the show, you know, I've reached out to her people. I'll get her on the show and she'll come and she'll talk more about this stuff. All right. Half past y'all. You know, so there wasn't no black people in the Oscars. None, zero. You know, and this year the Oscars had its lowest, lowest amount of watchers ever in the history of the show. But, you know, in honor of Valentine's Day now, you can name a cockroach after your ex for $5. Now, I don't understand what this means, but you can name, I think they'll feed the cockroach to a snake or something like that, but you can name, if you're still holding on to anger and resentment, you can get your, you can name a cockroach after your ex, and then they'll feed the cockroach to a snake or something. And I can't believe people would, you know. Yeah, I'll never understand the underbelly of things. I'll never understand, like, you know, why people kill each other when the relationship is over. You know, I'll never understand that, why people kill each other when the relationship is over. You know, relationship is over, it's over. That's it. You know, I'll never understand why people kill each other, because you hear about it, you know, all the time. Maybe not every day, but you hear about it all the time where, as a matter of fact, just right here in New Jersey, a couple of days ago, a man, you know, killed the wife and the two kids, and then, you know, it went somewhere else and killed himself, you know. So I just never, you know, I'll just never understand why folks can't just let each other go and that's it. You know, I'll never really understand that, why that happens. Because, like, as far as I'm concerned, your relationship is over, it's over. I mean, yeah, you know, you kind of wish things would have gone better, but nobody's worth me spending the rest of my life in jail. And what point does it, I mean, what do you gain from causing harm to the person you used to deal with? What do you gain? You know, for we had the tire flattening and the key in cars, and I guess some people just have to, you know, they have to exert their anger and let you know how angry they are with you by scratching up your car. You know, I mean, women know that men, you know, men have an affection for their vehicles, and, you know, the best way to hurt a man is to break all his windows out or flatten his tire. Now, you can break the windows out, you know, they don't want to do that. They'd rather break out the windows to your car. And because women know that men have a affinity for their vehicles, and when something happens to the vehicle, it kind of, you know, it's like a family member getting beat up. You know, that's how we look at it. Anyway, half past the show. So we got this election coming up, and there's a lot going on here, because we can't have another 4 years of Trump. You know, and this latest thing, and the problem, the real big problem is the Democrats are shout out to Lamont Gates. The Democrats are unable to stop what Trump is doing. Now, Trump's friend Roger Stone was convicted of a crime, and the prosecution recommended that he go to jail from 7 to 9 years. And Trump, with just a tweet, didn't even really, I don't know if he spoke to anybody about this, but just a tweet, with one tweet, he brought the whole thing down. Now, Trump could just commute, I can't think of the name of the technical name, but Trump could just commute Roger Stone's sentence, just commute it. Say, okay, I mean, wait until it's over and then say, and then excuse him, whatever, the presidential pardon. That's what it is. Yeah. Trump could just, he could have just given a presidential pardon to Roger Stone, and that would have been it. Game over. You know, with Trump, just a tweet, and everybody went scurrying for the exits just from a Trump tweet about Roger Stone and Trump saying that the sentence was too harsh. Just a tweet, and four of the prosecutors ran for the exits, and Trump's henchman, Attorney General Barr, stepped in, and now he's going to get a much lighter sentence. Even now, he's going to get something, but I don't understand why Trump felt the need to tweet about this. But I'll tell you, as soon as he tweets, why is everybody so scared? It seems like, I mean, from Mitch McConnell on down, it seems everybody is so afraid of Trump. Trump is like, you know, Trump is like the Don. Trump is like Trump is like John Gotti, you know, in the White House, you know. And everybody's afraid of Trump. They're scared to death. You know, so every time Trump says anything, you know, it's, and people are just dashing for the exit like the building's on fire. And this is what happened yesterday when Trump tweeted about Roger Stone, and everybody hauled ass for the exits. And now, and he talked about the judge. I mean, just and so if we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we're going to have another 4 years of this nonsense if we're not careful. So it's very important. Very important. And whoever you choose now, do I want Bernie Sanders to be president? No. But, you know, but and see, and people, I don't want Bernie Sanders to be president, but I don't want a socialist running this country. And Bernie Sanders is an admitted socialist. And I don't want a socialist running this country. This country wasn't designed for socialism. See, so socialism works in smaller countries where they might have 500 people. It might work there. You know, everybody's on the same level, and, you know, it may work there, but it doesn't work here. Shout out to Albert Vega, my brother. Last night, I believe, 8 to 10, DY Music Radio, Albert Vega, DJ Tiny, spinning the hits for you every Wednesday night, I think it is. 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, DY Music Radio. Shout out to you, my brother. So, yeah, so man, yeah, what's happening now is that people are, it's like anybody but Trump. This is what's happening right now. It's anybody but Trump. And see, I don't think anybody should be running the country, because we have, you know, we have three people, I guess you can say, because Elizabeth Warren is fading fast, and so is Joe Biden. So you have Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, 78-year-old. Gentlemen, and I know I'm going to be there one day, but not today. And Pete Buttigieg, and I'm never going to be where he is. Pete Buttigieg, who, you know, I mean, who can handle there being a gay president? Who can handle that? Is America, because they wasn't ready for a female president, or they just wasn't ready for Hillary Clinton, which is probably what it really was about. But is America ready for a gay, openly gay? Now, the United States of America has probably had gay presidents. We just didn't know who they were. We probably had a few gay presidents or down low presidents, whatever you want to call it, over the history of this country, over the 44 men who have run this country. Now, I guess we can assume that they were all heterosexual, but hey, who knows? But with Pete Buttigieg, former South Bend, Indiana mayor, Pete Buttigieg, is openly gay. And I think I remember one of the rallies, and you know, and they didn't talk about it that much because everybody's so afraid of talking about women. And speaking of that, I'll get to Harvey Weinstein. Oh, am I going to talk about Harvey Weinstein? But it may not be what you think. But I will talk about Harvey Weinstein when I come back from break. But so we have Pete Buttigieg, who is openly gay, and he kissed his boyfriend or his husband or whatever. And I'm like, you know, you know, I do believe in freedom and liberty and all of that stuff, and I do believe that you should be able to do or be with whoever you want to be with. And let's make that abundantly clear. I don't think that I'm not against people living their lives the way they want to live them. I'm not against that. But when it comes to being the president of the United States, and here we have a man who's doing well, who's in second place, who, if it wasn't for Amy Klobuchar, if it was not for Amy Klobuchar, he would have beat Buttigieg. I mean, Buttigieg would have beat Bernie Sanders if it wasn't for Amy Klobuchar. Amy Klobuchar gummed up the works, and she was right behind. She was in third place. And those votes may have went to, you can't guarantee that they would have went to Bernie Sanders, because they didn't go to Bernie Sanders. Those votes may have gone to Pete Buttigieg, the openly gay presidential candidate. Now, shout out to Lamont Gates, who says America only functions due to a slice of socialism, unemployment, SSI, Medicare, Medicaid, public schools, police, fire, and I can't see the rest, bridges, roads, NPR radio, military, etc. All socialism that America has used since the 1930s with no arguments. Now, I disagree, Lamont Gates. Shout out to Colette Bennison Matthews, who appears to disagree with what I was just saying. But see, I don't consider those things, Medicaid, you know, because everybody doesn't get it. See, with socialism, everybody gets the same thing. Everybody gets the same thing. Everybody's not unemployed. Everybody doesn't need SSI, Medicaid. For example, I don't need it. Everybody isn't in public schools. Police, fire, or jobs, bridges, roads. NPR radio is an allocation of cash, which I think that Trump is trying to cut that. Military is not socialism. Socialism is when everybody has the same thing, and everybody doesn't have the same thing. So we have a bit of a disagreement there. Let me see what Webster says about socialism. Okay. Socialism, according to Webster's, is a political and economic theory of social organization, here you go, Lamont Gates. A slice. Okay, exactly. Socialism is a political and economic theory of social organization which advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole, which... In Marxist theory, socialism is a transitional social state between the overthrow of capitalism and the realization of communism. So in a lot of ways, socialism is practiced in some of these communist countries, North Korea, China, Russia, the former Soviet Union. And socialism is a political, social, and economic philosophy encompassing a range of economic and social systems characterized by social ownership of the means of production and workers' self-management of enterprise, as well as the political theories and movements associated with such systems. So they, all of the Webster's, Wikipedia, they all, Britannica, they all say the same thing. Socialism, a social and economic doctrine that calls for public rather than private ownership or control of property and natural resources. See, you know, Charles Lamont Gates, who says in this case, it's the government instead of the community. But see, that's what socialism is, you know. And I'm a person, I am someone who embraces capitalism. Yeah, because I want to be rich one day. If I got more than you, then I'm sorry, you know. I'll donate to some causes, but I don't want to have the same thing as everybody else, because we're not all the same. We may all be human beings, but we're not all the same. So me personally, I don't want Bernie and Buttigieg. I guess America is open to the possibility of two men in the White House, two men in the West Wing of the, or in the living quarters of the White House, having a, so what do you call the Buttigieg's partner? Is it, he's a first what? The first who? You know. Shout out to Tuffy Ellie. Shout out to Lamont Gay and Bruce Bolchikap. Not at all. Not at all. You know, but some of these people, and I gotta take a break. I'll be back in a second. I'm gonna talk about Harvey Weinstein. Boy, am I gonna talk about Harvey Weinstein. I've been monitoring this. I've been watching it on Court TV and keeping up with this. And this is fascinating, this Harvey Weinstein thing. We'll get back to that. Yeah, but I don't want, and see, because a lot of people just, you know, being a political analyst, a journalist, I get a headache from politics. And a lot of people just don't understand politics. A lot of us are still trying to figure out who killed Ghost, you know, and have no idea. No idea. You see it on Facebook where there are folks that just are clueless to what's going on in America right now. Have no idea whatsoever what's going on right here in the United States of America. None, zero, nada. So, yeah, so we need to keep an eye on this. The South Carolina primary is coming up. Poor Joe Biden, if he doesn't win this, he might as well pack his bags and head back to Delaware because his campaign is going to be over. I believe it's already over. We'll give old Joe the benefit of the doubt and see if he can come back. So meanwhile, at the top of the ticket, it's Buttigieg and Sanders, or Sanders and Buttigieg. Sanders, Buttigieg, and Amy Klobuchar. I think Biden's campaign is over, and I do think that Elizabeth Warren's campaign is over as well. She's shot her biggest gun. She seems a little kooky. I don't know if I'd want her sitting in the White House. Either. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back and we'll talk about Harvey Weinstein. The prosecution has rested. The defense has rested. And we're going to talk. I'm going to get into this in just a minute. It may raise some eyebrows, but that's what I do. I raise eyebrows. We'll take a quick break. And we'll come back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
That's right. Do not get it twisted. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Thursday night, you know what time it is. Thursday, it's Valentine's Eve. Thursday is February 13th, 2020. Valentine's Eve. Valentine's Eve. So Lamont Gates and a lot of y'all will be running out there. Tuffy Ali, I believe. I'm not sure. We'll be running out there and trying to get something for your significant other. And, of course, I forgot. But, yeah, I'll make it up. All right, anyway, it's a couple minutes before the hour, everybody. 15 minutes, Mr. Ron Kelly's show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the worldwide AMFM broadcast network. All right, so the Harvey Weinstein. Now, I've been checking out this Harvey Weinstein trial that's going on. You know, and let me make something abundantly clear with you folks. I don't believe, if a woman says no, it's no. Woman said, there's a lot of women out here. And if you can't get none, there's a lot of women out here. And if you can't get one or you can't get none, you need to check yourself. So if a woman says no, it's no. Even if she's taking off her clothes, even if she's naked, butt naked, or whatever the case may be, a woman has a right to change her mind. So if she says no, it's no. Just live with it. Go get somebody else. You should be able to. With all the women that's running around out here today, you should have a backup. Anyway, not if you're in a relationship or married. Let me make that abundantly clear. But, you know, women have been using the kitty for years. Women have been using their feminine wiles for years on men to get what they want. It's been going on for years, especially in Hollywood. You know, not too many women have to do that in order to get a regular job. But women have been doing that for years. You know, when you talk about the casting couch, that's a phrase, casting couch, because it was a known fact that some women would do anything to get a role in a movie, do anything for stardom. The women would do anything for stardom. And so, and it was, and that doesn't make it right. Now, I mean, make myself clear, doesn't make it right. But you know, we've always known that in women right now today, women, you know, wives, shout out to Bunny McKnight, my brother, wives, girlfriends have been using a kitty to get what they want out of a man for years and years. People in relations, it's not just, you know, somebody who works for you or, you know, your secretary, girlfriends, wives, you know, friends with benefits, whatever you want to call it. Women have been using a kitty and our men have gone down in flames because of the kitty. They've gone down in flames. Samson, Delilah, because of the lure of the kitty, Delilah was able to cut off Samson's hair. That's good. Y'all, love you, man. I know you're going to be here, brother. I know if you're not here, punch out the Bunny McKnight, I'm talking to everybody. I know if you're not here, something happened where you couldn't be here, brother. I understand that. You know, I appreciate you, and thank you so much for your support. But women have been using the kitty for years to get what they want. As I said, Samson. Remember Samson, the story of Samson. How Delilah, by using the kitty, lured Samson into a situation where she was able to cut Samson's hair. When Samson's hair was cut, he lost his powers because of the kitty. You know, Bill Clinton, President of the United States of America, was impeached because of the kitty. The lure of how many men have gone down in flames, you know. Matt Lauer and Charlie Rose and Bill Cosby and so many men have gone down in flames for love of the kitty. And the women have been using their kitties for years. And I'm not just talking about somebody who works for you or, you know, I'm talking about girlfriends, your very own girlfriend, your wife, who may want that coat or want those boots or whatever the case may be. Oh, I'll just give them some. I'll get them. And women have been using the kitty for years. Let's get down to now in Hollywood, you know, even during the days of the feather dancers and the back in the days of silent movies, women have been sleeping their way. And I'm not banging against women, but they've been sleeping their way into roles. They've been sleeping their way into jobs. Become a vice president. I want to be a vice president. I know what I'll do. I'll show a little cleavage to old boy. And, you know, maybe give him a little bit, and that might help me get my role. So with Harvey Weinstein, I don't think that Harvey Weinstein raped everybody who says he raped them. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it because women, even during the days of the caveman, you know, to get into the warmer cave, to get into the cave, women have been using the kitty to get what they want. And they still do today, 2020, February 13th. Women still use the booty to get what they want. And some of these women, now fast forward to Harvey Weinstein, Now, the one girl who says that he raped her and who says he raped her, the main character, now they dug up evidence that's to the contrary. To say that, oh, he was my friend. He was my, that man was stealing the kid. Yeah, well, I don't know if Harvey Weinstein was stealing the kitty. See, Harvey Weinstein was one of the most powerful men in Hollywood. And some people, when they get to the precipice of stardom, you know, they'll do anything. You know, they'll do anything. I mean, I even with men, if I met somebody who, or if I met a chick who owned a station, who owned a network, if I met the lady who owns Radio One, and she said, well, look, if you give me something, I'll give you a show. I don't know. Give me some and I'll give you, I'll give you a network. I'll put you in limited syndication all across America. Do you think I won't think about it? I sure would. Gail Carnegie says, what's your point? Men manipulate women to get what they want as well. But you can get, you know, but men are usually, I'm talking about men in positions of power, Ms. Carnegie. I'm talking about, I'm not banging on women. I'm talking about this Harvey Weinstein case, you know. I'm talking about Harvey Weinstein is very powerful. He was the most powerful man in Hollywood. The Weinstein Company was one of the premier movie-making entities in Hollywood. Harvey Weinstein was very, very powerful. And the women, there were women who'd be willing to sleep with him in order to get a movie role. And while, yeah, he was wrong for baiting the women into believing that they would get a movie role if they slept with him, but they fell for it. They drank the Kool-Aid. And I'm not saying, because men, right, men, I'm sure men, there's been men who ran into women of power who wanted what they wanted and they did what they, but when I'm talking about Harvey Weinstein, I'm not talking about the men right now. So Harvey Weinstein has a chance to get off because the woman who was accusing him said he was her friend and he was her mentor and this, that, and the third, and you know, she spent time with him after what allegedly happened, and she was singing the praises about the man to her friends. She never mentioned that she was raped. She never mentioned that she was assaulted or anything like that. You know, Gail Carnegie says manipulation is manipulation. It's everywhere done by everyone. Yeah, I understand that, Gail, but I'm talking about Harvey Weinstein. I'm not talking about everyone and everywhere. I'm talking about Harvey Weinstein. So Harvey Weinstein, one of the most powerful people in Hollywood, was probably offered the kitty many times because he was in a position to make or break your career. One movie can turn you into a Julia Roberts or a Angelina Jolie or a Meryl Streep. Just about one movie. And Harvey Weinstein had the power to do that. And women were willing to sleep with Harvey Weinstein in order to get a career. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's lying, but I believe that this one particular chick is lying. And now Harvey Weinstein, there's reasonable doubt there. But women have been using, because it's mostly women, men, we can't manipulate women, you know, with sex, you know. It's the other way around. Women can manipulate us with sex, but men can't manipulate women with sex. It just doesn't happen, Miss Carnegie. You know, but women have been manipulating men for years. So my point is that, you know, by watching this trial, watching this case, I can see, based on the evidence, that there's some reasonable doubt here, because that's all you have to do is form reasonable doubt. You don't have to prove the person innocent. You just put some reasonable doubt in there. So right now, I think there's reasonable doubt. Because women have been doing this for years. Women have manipulated men for years. with their feminine wiles, with the booty and with the kitty. And that's what women do. They've been doing that for years. So with Harvey Weinstein, I don't think that everybody that says he raped them, that he actually raped them. You don't have to. Now, Bill Cosby was a different story. Bill Cosby drugged the women. It'd be hard to believe that, you know, Bill Cosby, man, with a $300 million net worth, would have to rape anybody. Because you got that kind of money, you can get whoever you want. You know. And women, there's a lot of women that won't admit it, but let somebody come along to hit the lotto or something. Somebody you used to deal with. And they say, hey, come on. You'll drop what you're doing and leave. So just knock it off. You'll drop what you're doing. If let's say somebody you were dating, and I'm talking to the women, somebody you were dating, and I don't be banging on women, but somebody you were dating wins the Mega Millions, for example, but you've already moved on to somebody else. So this person just won, let's say yesterday they won $202 million. There's a lot of women who would just bounce and leave whoever it is they are with and go with that person that has that money. And I'm sure there's probably men that will do it too. So, but with this Harvey Weinstein, I think that he's going to get off. I think that there's enough reasonable doubt there that he'll get off. Now, if he's wrong, or if he actually did do something, shame on him. But, thank you, my brother. Yes. So the women will drop you in a heartbeat and go off with mega homeboy. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, if a woman says no, it's no. She says no, it's no. But I do think that this woman, this particular woman, and Annabella Sciorra used to be on the gangster show, Sopranos. I believe that's what she was at. And she's claiming that Harvey Weinstein did something to her, too, 23 years ago. I mean, come on. And I'm not defending Harvey Weinstein at all. I think he's a slob. I'm not defending him at all. But I don't think he's guilty of everything that everybody is saying about him. I just don't believe it. Based on the evidence that I've seen, I don't believe that he's guilty of everything they're saying he does. That he did. So, keep using your kitties to get what you want. Because you know that's what y'all do. Use the kitty to get what you want. The lure of the kitty has brought many famous men down. Like I said about Samson. Samson is a liar. Samson had to keep his hair long. If Samson cut his hair, he would lose his powers. So guess what? He fell for the kitty, and Delilah cut off Samson's hair. And she cut off Samson's hair. Read the story, Samson and Delilah. Samson, the lure of the kitty, got to Samson. And while he was sleeping, he was with Delilah. And while he was sleeping, she cut off his hair. And she knew that he would lose his powers if she cut off his hair. Delilah cut off Samson's hair. And Samson wasn't Samson anymore. The kitty will get you in trouble. So, to wrap it up, I do think that Harvey Weinstein, the jury has rested. There'll probably be a verdict next week. And the defense has rested. The prosecution has rested. I do believe there's enough reasonable doubt there for an acquittal. I do believe that. So I'm saying it right now. I think that Harvey Weinstein acquitted. All right, just a minute left to the program, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. It's Ron Kelly Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com. All right, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Jeez. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so all of you, you know, go pick up that cheap basket on the highway, bring it home. There'll be plenty of people out there selling baskets tomorrow, trust me. There'll be plenty of people on the side of the road selling baskets. I don't buy that stuff. You know, I think it means more than that. But there will be people purchasing those cheap baskets on the side of the road. All right, so anyway, everybody, 30 seconds left to the program. Everybody, take care of yourselves. Remember that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And that we may not have it all together, but together, we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I think I'm done.